Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program very much. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 21st, 2021. The head of the Anglican Church in South Sudan is calling on the South Sudan Army and rebel forces to respect and protect civilians.
I am making an appeal to all the organized forces, whether in the government and the booths, in Jesus' name, protect and respect the civilians.
And the new governor of Lake State vows to bring order in the area.
Those who are found possessing arms without the support of the law must be penalized and disarmed by all means possible, including the use of lethal force.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The head of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan is appealing to both government security and armed opposition forces to respect civilians in areas under their control. Archbishop Justin Bade Arama accuses the government and rebel forces of harassing and mistreating civilians in areas they control in central Equatorial State. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin reports from Yei.
Speaking during the Episcopal Diocese of Yei's enthronement of a new bishop at the Emmanuel Cathedral on Sunday, Justin Bade Arama, the primate of the Episcopal Church in South Sudan, says civilians in Yei as well as other parts of central Equatoria continue to suffer as South Sudan's leaders slowly implement the revitalized peace deal. Bade says both government and NAS forces are harassing and mistreating civilians in urban and rural areas of the state.
I am making an appeal to all the organized forces, whether in the government and the booths, in Jesus' name, protect and respect the civilians, because in central Equatorial State, civilians are suffering, and when they come from the village to town, they are arrested, beaten, and accused as rebels. And also, if someone goes from the town to the village, they are accused as supporters of the government. And we want the politicians to tell the organized forces not to mistreat civilians.
Major General Lul Roy Kwang, spokesperson of the South Sudan's People's Defense Forces, says the SSPDF has a constitutional mandate to protect civilians under threat in areas under the SSPDF control. Kwang accuses the NAS rebels led by General Thomas Rilo of violating the cessation of hostilities agreement and ignoring civilians' rights in central Equatoria.
It is our mandate to protect the local population from anybody who is against them. That's our mandate, and we have also been making it clear that when if there are reported cases of violations of rights of civilians by any of our own servicemen, then whoever is being aggrieved should also report us so that he takes the necessary action against the person who is in violation. NAS has been on the offensive, and we have been accusing NAS of violating the cessation of hostilities agreement.
National Salvation Front spokesman Soba Samuel says it is the South Sudan's army that is violating the cessation of hostilities agreement and violating civilians' rights in the state.
We abide by the cessation of hostilities agreement, but the government does not believe in this agreement. The rule of engagement on the National Salvation Front is in place. Wherever our forces are, everything is in order. But the moment SSPDF reaches there, things are different. And there is no way, if there is a single incident that has happened, that must be associated with that particular soldier who has done something, and we take drastic actions for that particular thing.
Moro Isaac Genesio, the Central Equatorial State Minister for Local Government and Law Enforcement, says while the parties to the peace agreement are committed to peace, the state still remains a battlefield with repeated attacks on civilians. Genesio is calling on church leaders to help the government restore peace and stability in Central Equatoria and across the country.
We have, as government, also noted with concern the challenges of peace, the challenges of insecurity, especially in Central Equatoria State. Our people are extremely suffering. It is a situation that calls for our unity to address, and all of us are wishing to see peace prevail amidst us. I appeal to the church to take leadership to help us bring peace. Let's work together so that indeed this peace is realized. We also ask whoever is engaged in hostilities to consider the suffering of our people.
Minister Genesio says ongoing violations of the cessation of hostilities agreement is a national issue which demands a collective effort from all leaders to resolve the conflict in Central Equatoria. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yatown.
The new governor of Lagos State says he will empower law enforcement agencies in the state to restore peace and stability across Lagos State. Traditional chiefs and residents of Lagos State are calling on the new governor to execute by firing squad anyone involved in intercommunal violence, road ambushes or killings. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Hundreds of men and women, including leaders and ordinary citizens from across Lagos State, met at Freedom Hall in Juba on Sunday to deliberate on what the new governor Rintoeny Mabior can do in order to bring about peace and stability to the troubled state. After lengthy discussions, moderator Jacob Adut Mabor read aloud some of the recommendations that citizens think the new governor should implement to end the vicious cycle of killings and road ambushes.
Murder must be punishable by death, and any revenge killings that occur after the culprits have been detained must be punishable by death as well. Those who are found possessing arms without the support of the law must be penalized and disarmed by all means possible, including the use of lethal force.
During the discussion, the participants agreed on a total of 25 resolutions, including one that would arrest and punish politicians and military officials found guilty of inciting communities to fight and supply weapons to civilians. After listening to the recommendations, newly appointed Lagos State's Governor General Rintoeny Mabior vowed to tighten the rule of law to stop the vicious cycle of killings in the area.
My administration will fully effect the punishment of law on such rock elements destabilizing our states. Bandits, abaka, cattle rustling is a criminal offense against the state and must be dealt with properly. We must not succumb to the criminals and must not allow our people to despair either. We shall work tirelessly to restore hope, confidence of our people, and create a peaceful atmosphere that reflects the true values of our people of Lagos State.
General Majaga Akech, Inspector General of the South Sudan National Police Service, who hails from Lagos State, told the new governor to apply proper punishment for criminals according to the situation on ground.
If the situation requires firing squad, do it. If the situation requires humanity, do it. But you should focus on strengthening local courts. If it depends on the courts in Juba, it will take long process and delay justice process and bring in some other issues.
General Akech says he will give his full support to the new governor in his capacity as police inspector general. He says once the unified forces are graduated, their first mission will be to carry out a nationwide disarmament exercise, which will include Lagos State. Paramount Chief Madud Boy says peace and stability won't return to the state until politicians and military leaders allow the new governor to do his work uninterrupted. According to Chief Boy, nepotism and sectarianism are the main challenges standing in the way of justice and enforcement of the law in the state. Martha Atiriu, a member of parliament in Lagos State, says women are tired of barring men killed in communal violence or of being abandoned by men who kill and then run away.
After killing each other, they run away to hide, leaving the dead colleagues for women to bury. Because if they engage in burial, they will be included in the fight. So they run to hide and leave it to women to carry the body, dig the grave and bury them. Is it right for us to be burying people? Is that our mission? When we are not the ones who kill them, you must shoot them.
Intercommunal violence, cattle raids, and road ambushes have increased in recent years in the state. A Catholic bishop was recently called out at night, shot and wounded in front of his residence in Rumbek. A breastfeeding mother was also killed in her house at night 5 days ago. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Geneva. Countries accused of abusing their people's human rights will come under the lens of the UN Human Rights Council over the next 3 weeks. Dozens of thematic issues and country reports on topics including COVID-19 will be addressed during the session, which begins Monday. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, will present an oral update on the human rights crisis unfolding in Myanmar since the military coup there on February 1st. Her report is likely to reflect condemnation of the military leader's violent crackdown on the civilian population and what she sees as a looming threat of civil war in the country. The Council also will hear updates on the human rights situation in other countries, including Eritrea, Iran, Nicaragua, South Sudan, and Syria. Separately, observers view events in northern Ethiopia's Tigray region as one of the most serious human rights issues around. The Executive Director of Human Rights Watch, Kenneth Roth, says reports of imminent famine, summary executions, rape, and other atrocities perpetrated in Tigray warrant action by the Human Rights Council. He is calling for the adoption of a resolution condemning these practices at this session.
A resolution should clearly name the governments. So, you know, we know that Ethiopian government forces have been major perpetrators of these crimes, along with, as you mentioned, the Eritrean forces, which is important to recognize. You know, the Eritrean forces didn't invade Tigray. They were invited in by the Ethiopian government.
Violence erupted in Tigray in November when forces of the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front attacked federal military bases in the region. The Ethiopian government responded with the use of military force. High Commissioner Bachelet also will present a report on police violence and systemic racism against people of African descent. The death of African-American George Floyd while in police custody in the United States last year triggered a special counsel session 1 year ago. Roth says he believes the report should have a strong focus on the United States. He adds, however, that systemic racism is a global problem and should be treated as such.
Our concern is really that the Human Rights Council creates some kind of mechanism to continue this. So it's not just a one-off report, but there is a more systematic effort to address root causes and to push for accountability. I don't say that at all to try to minimize the situation in the U.S. The U.S. should be a critical focus of those efforts.
The Council's last session in February focused on efforts to combat COVID-19-related violations. Bachelet will present a report on how states are responding to the pandemic. COVID-19 also will feature as a sub-theme into reports and panel discussions this session. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the number of refugees around the world has increased. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you are going to have a busy day, do you get up early?
I wake up the same time I wake up, no matter how busy I want to be. The only time I wake up earlier than expected is when I have production. Most of the times I'm into TV, radio productions, and sometimes you get the call time to be 5 or 4:30.
Psychologically, I do get nervous when I have like a big day ahead of me. So yeah, I have to get ready for that.
Yes, I do. But I do plan before the busy day. And then when I get up early, I make sure I implement the plan.
Yes, I get up early to prepare the day and make sure that I execute everything I'm supposed to do. In fact, it even starts from the previous day.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. The United Nations reports that by the end of 2020, the number of people around the world who had been forcefully displaced from their homes totaled to 82.4 million, the highest number on record. VOA's Laura Bowman has more on the UN's annual report.
I'm very happy to see you.
The smiles, the songs, the prayers, the kicks.
Playing soccer makes me feel really, really happy and really social.
These are some of the 82.4 million people the UN reports has displaced in 2020 by persecution, human rights violations, and events seriously disturbing public order. It's the highest number on record and comes even with COVID-19 restrictions on movement and border closures.
And what is really quite shocking is that over the last 10 years, the numbers of people who are refugees or forcibly displaced has more than doubled. Something like 48% are children and youths. So we really have generations of children who are separated from their countries of origin.
The UN reports that overall, 1 in 95 people is now forcibly displaced, including more than half the population of Syria, both inside the country and out. Syrians represent the largest group of those displaced internationally, and experts say their needs are many.
I want to tell you about even education. You cannot just put education alone. You need to put education with mental health, for instance, together, because we have a lot of traumatized Syrian refugees and they cannot comprehend. So you need to work on the mental health, like psychosocial support, plus education.
Venezuelans represent the second largest group of forcibly displaced people. Many have fled to neighboring Colombia. And displacement from Central America is up 50-fold over the last 10 years, with many refugees heading north to the United States.
And I think it's really important to think about refugees not just as a burden on society, but to think about them as consumers and contributors, because they actually add to economic growth. They add to economic development.
The number of unaccompanied children in 2020 was disproportionately high, according to the UN report, and climate change further drove migration and increased instability among those already on the move.
The need for resources, water, land, ability to feed herds and to grow crops, these are all affected by climate change, and they lead to conflict. And conflict leads to displacement.
The UN report showed that 86% of people displaced across borders are hosted by developing countries. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
As the United Nations recognizes World Refugee Day, families in the Tigray region of Ethiopia continue to be forced to flee war, often only to be displaced again by violence or the massive social and economic strain caused by the crisis. VOA's Heather Maddock has this report from Share, Ethiopia.
At this camp in the Tigray region of Ethiopia, families pack up their things swiftly. But it isn't much. Most of their belongings were left behind when they fled the war. Soldiers here say the university campus where these families are being hosted needs to open and people have to leave immediately. Vehicles that locals call bajajas line up to transport people and goods at cheap prices as another camp is set up across town.
They told us we have to leave a month ago, and since then, they have come every few days. The only difference is now they are using force.
UN officials briefly visit, saying the new camp is not ready and the move is unjust. But they quickly concede to local forces and tell people to follow the soldiers' orders. Worldwide, an estimated more than 80 million people are displaced from their homes, forced to flee war or persecution. Nearly 60% remain in their home countries, sometimes forced to flee the same conflict over and over again. In Tigray, many displaced families were split up in the chaos, with about 2 million people fleeing within Ethiopia and more than 60,000 people crossing the border to take refuge in Sudan.
So many people fled to Sudan, but I was pregnant and couldn't get that far.
After she fled, she says, her husband was arrested and her cattle confiscated. She says she cannot imagine raising four children in the camp, but she also does not think it will ever be safe to go home. The war in Tigray began last November when the Tigray People's Liberation Front attacked northern federal bases and the Ethiopian National Defense Force swept through the region. Eritrean forces are fighting with the federal government, and both sides also have associated militias. Civilians in Tigray have reported widespread looting, beatings, mass killings, and rapes. Much of the region is in danger of famine, which is already occurring in some places. And on top of these horrors, the economy has been crushed. Cities are packed with displaced families, while farms go untended and food is not grown.
I was a farmer with good land and I grew sorghum, but I was displaced just before the harvest and arrived here with nothing.
The global population of forcibly displaced people has more than doubled in the past decade. And in Tigray, locals say numbers keep growing. On Monday, Ethiopians in most of the country will go to the polls for the first national election in 6 years. But in Tigray, there will be no voting, only praying for relief after nearly 8 months of war. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Shira, Ethiopia.
Still on refugee matters, some refugees in South Sudan are calling for more opportunities for higher education at a refugee camp in Maban. An official with South Sudan's Commission for Refugee Affairs acknowledges that challenges remain in providing education services for refugees. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu has more from Juba.
20-year-old Izzedin Doka is a Senior 2 student at Yusuf Batil Secondary School in Maban. The school was founded by the UN Refugee Agency to provide refugee children with secondary-level education and host at least 500 students. While Doka is thankful to UNHCR for providing him with his secondary school education, he is sad to see that many of his refugee brothers and sisters at the camp are finishing their senior four classes and are unable to access further studies.
We have our brothers which they have completed senior secondary school. This one's here, if they took their certificate, they will go and sit just like this and they will go for jobs. But this one, according to me, is not good. I need some support from the organizations to bring for us university.
18-year-old Antizara Nadir Ziada is a senior four student at Yusuf Batil Secondary School. She too is concerned about the lack of opportunities for higher education.
The scholarship which they have been given to us right now, it is not enough. But with that little chance of ours, it is better for them to add for us more so that we take more opportunities as we refugees.
Doka and Ziada are among thousands of Sudanese refugees living in Maban. They escaped conflict in Sudan's Blue Nile state in 2011 when fighting erupted between the then government led by ousted President Omar el-Bashir and SPLM North rebels. Although UNHCR has managed to provide primary and secondary education to the refugees in Maban, it has been difficult to enroll students in high school. Jacqueline Alex Tillian is the UNHCR focal person for education in Maban. Tillian admits refugees face limited opportunities for scholarships and spaces for learning.
If you can see in this school, they are like the senior four, we have 150, and this 150 need three different classrooms, and this is the challenge we are facing in this school and even in other primary schools, that the space is, the learning space is limited. And we also look at other challenges, like those who complete the secondary school, for them to access tertiary education like university, the support is very limited. We have support from Daffy Scholarship, we have support from Windall Trust, but those slots are very limited because in a year they can only take 3 or 4 students.
John Ball Accord heads the South Sudan Commission for Refugee Affairs. He agrees that opportunities for refugee students are limited, but says the government is looking into the problem.
I'm going to come here with the Minister of Higher Education so that we talk to them, and then we find the way, the mean of how we take this student to the higher education.
Arafat Jamal, the UNHCR country representative for South Sudan, is calling on donors to fund all levels of education, including universities, for the refugees.
Nobody chooses to be a refugee. To be a refugee means that there's a failure in the world. It's a failure of peace in their country where they live. But when a refugee crosses a border and finds protection, that's a success. This means that that somehow the international community and the government that receives them has decided that they need protection.
June 20th is commemorated every year as the World Refugee Day to create awareness about the plight of refugees scattered across different parts of the world who had to leave their homes to escape conflicts. This year's theme is Together We Heal, Learn and Sign. It highlights the basic needs of displaced persons, such as health care, nutrition, and education. South Sudan hosts some 320,000 refugees, most of whom are from Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
We'd love to hear what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We'll air your brief comments every Friday. We now leave you with the song Choina Omanya by Christo Panda.
Christo Panda, Queen in Angin Panda, Viviana Bibamba, Bamba, 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 Ten Other Pit. Choina Mania, Panda, Choina Mania,
yes, sir.
Choina Mania.
Choi no manya 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 manya. Choi no manya no tai na yo ya chama. Choi no manya no kapa ya fiya ya wamba. Choi no manya gwe. Choi no manya gwe. Choi no manya gwe gwe gwe.
Choi no manya kapa ya fiya wamba. Ono mana tai na na ya chama. Choi no manya mutima kwa ya wamba. Pita baby na furo mwana. Sheba Crystal Panda brand new remix. Choi no manya Queen Sheba Panda lyrics. Kanu DJ kateke mu mix. Ako bebe kulu kanu teka kulist. Kwen Sheba remix the Crystal Panda. Chimia so chewa tukaba chita panda. Big up my baby wipanga no mipaza. Your order from above wali anda. Baby ya gala mini rap. Tugene tugaba ni love. Mi can't get enough. Baby nyungoza ni bala. Baby ndio vienze vya my love.
Choi no manyo no tai na yo ya chama. Choi no manyo no kapo ya fiye ya wamba. Choi no manyo gwe. Choi no manyo gwe. Choi no manyo gwe gwe
gwe. Choi no manyo kapo ya fiye wamba. Ono mana tai na na ya chama. Choi no manyo mutima kwe ya wamba. Pita baby na furo mwana.
Every time I say my little dove. Osini samanyo ngembuzi mulove. Among the many you above. Wine for me and no order for my bow.
We've been listening to Christo Panda with the song Choina Omanya. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Bring it, baby, just do it, baby, don't stop it, DJ, just drop it. Number one, kaimba promo kwanu tade kurepeti, tuganda wale, tuganda kubechi. Bimba ne guy to taste a street, tuganda wale, tuganda kubechi.
Bimba ne queen to taste a street, tuganda wale, tuganda mu.
Join no manyo no tie na yo we a chama. Join